Hey everybody, Coach Michael here. Got a little glitch getting started here, so hopefully I'm coming through loud and clear. Hope you're all doing well. Here with open class number 49, towards the end of the year. Hope everyone had a good weekend, is having a nice holiday season, and looking forward to addressing a couple emails that have come in recently. So without further ado, let's just jump right into our emails. And the first is from Ange. Okay, hey Ange. Hello, I have had 5 months of insomnia and I've been following your program for a few weeks now and I now get much better sleep. That's great. Normally around 7 to 7.5 hours. I no longer worry about sleep and seems like my hyperarousal is gone. Since my sleep has improved, I have actually been feeling really fatigued, foggy, and tired every day. Okay, Daniel. Your book mention is because hyperarousal, which has been masking fatigue, is now gone, which makes sense. So the hyperarousal driving fatigue goes away when insomnia goes away. And so then that it has been masking fatigue. So now the fatigue is kind of front and center. That makes sense. I wonder how long does it take to feel good again after 5 months of sleep deprivation? I also have always felt great only with 8.5 hours of sleep. So needing 8.5 hours of sleep, that's how much my body needs. I've always got this much sleep my whole life and felt great. However, insomnia messed up my sleep very much, making me wake up very early every morning, no matter what time I fell asleep. I can't get more than 7 to 7.5 hours of sleep. My body wakes me up 1 to 2 hours before my alarm every day. And I just don't feel like it's time. I just feel like it's time, not time yet for me to wake up. I still feel groggy and tired, but I can't fall back to sleep. So I can't get more than 7 to 7.5 hours of sleep each day. Questions. Will I be able to get my needed 8.5 hours of sleep at some point? Will I start sleeping more and waking up when I'm ready to wake up? And how long does it take to feel good again after 5 months of sleep deprivation? Thanks so much for your insight. Okay. Thank you, Ange, for your question. Okay, so a couple things. Yeah, the hyperarousal that's associated with insomnia clearly can mask fatigue during the day. So a person with insomnia, you know, rarely takes a nap. They usually don't doze off during the day. Kind of the hyperarousal keeps a baseline level of alertness going all day long, and often there's thinking about sleep and insomnia during the day that drives that hyperarousal. You know, will I sleep tonight? You know, how am I going to get through the day? You know, how all these kinds of thought patterns that are associated with insomnia. So this is a really good point, good time to point out that insomnia is not sleep deprivation. Okay. Sleep deprivation is different. That's kind of like the willful shortchanging of your sleep time, if you will. Insomnia is more of increased opportunity to sleep, which gives a person more time to focus on their sleep, to worry about their sleep, and to keep that anxiety about sleep going. So those are two different things, insomnia and sleep deprivation. So that's the first thing, Ange, I would like to point out is that when we're talking about insomnia, yes, hyperarousal does tend to go away when insomnia starts to resolve, and that can then unmask some fatigue during the day. But there are a lot of other things that can make you feel fatigued during the day. And, you know, the list is almost endless, to be honest. You know, just your mood and things that happen, whether you have kind of like a good day coming up or sort of something you're dreading during the day. You know, these kinds of things can make us, even things we eat, you know, can make us feel a certain way during the day, and it can affect our energy level, our fatigue, our tiredness, all that kind of stuff, whether or not you've exercised. All these kinds of things can affect how you feel, not just what you think is your sleep time. So the thing with sleep is that you can't really accurately measure it. You know, when you try to estimate your sleep time, it becomes very problematic. So, you know, there's just no way to know for sure how much you're sleeping. Even if you think you do, you know, I've been around a long time in the sleep field, and there's just not a good way to really get an accurate handle on how much you're sleeping. So I have come to the realization that trying to estimate your sleep is a problem. That leads to the ongoing insomnia that drives it. So when you're trying to estimate your sleep, you're now trying to control it, and control, you know, sleep, it just, none of that works. And usually it's kind of the time that is really the biggest issue. So estimating sleep time is problematic. One of my favorite things to say is that sleep, you know, time and sleep aren't friends. They just make the whole thing worse. When you put constraints on it, that's a big problem with the CBTI also, is that sometimes people get really rigid about the CBTI and the sleep window and how much it has to be, and kind of making small adjustments to it. In theory, it makes a lot of sense, but in practicality, there's a lot of issues with it for a lot of people. So the key, the answer, in my opinion, is to not track your sleep at all. Whether it's a, you know, an external device or an app or in your own mind or anything, it just, I've seen it help so many times to just not give any thought to time, you know. And the only time that you really need to know, as far as sleep goes, is what time you get up in the morning. And you want to just kind of keep that consistent. And that doesn't even necessarily mean the time that you wake up. It can be the time that you start your day, that you get up and start your day. So, Ange, I would just be really cautious about, you know, having an amount of time in your mind that you think is required for your sleep, because that in itself causes monitoring of time, monitoring of sleep time, which then leads to efforts. And that doesn't help. So hope those thoughts are helpful for you. You know, there's a phrase some people like to use, like sleep like a robot. You know, you kind of just do the set it and forget it method. You just at night, you know, you just kind of maybe have like a time where you try to get to that time before you go to bed. So maybe it's 9 or 10 or something like that, but that's not when you go to bed. You just say, okay, I'm going to make it to around that time, but your alarm is set for morning, kind of a consistent time that you've been observing for your morning. Set your alarm for that. And then you just see how you feel. Try to get to a certain point so you're not going to bed, you know, 12 hours before your time that you get up, because that would be very unrealistic. So make sure you kind of get to a certain point, but then when you get to that certain point, you know, maybe it's 7-8 hours before your alarm is set to go off, then you just go into timeless mode and you don't check time. You don't know what it is. It doesn't matter. It makes it worse when you find out, usually. It leads to tracking and all of that. So you just go timeless for the whole night. And then when your alarm goes off, you start your day. It doesn't matter. You might be sitting up reading. You might be watching something on TV in the living room. It doesn't matter. You just kind of get your day going, get light and activity and all that morning stuff going on. So that's what I would suggest. I don't think there's anything else I was going to comment on there, Ange, but just, you know, keep in mind, there's a lot of things that make us feel tired during the day. And so you just got to keep that in perspective. And, you know, and I guess I could say that, you know, if you feel like you need 8.5 hours, you know, 8.5 hours is definitely well above average. So that would be definitely on the high end of what they have determined that adult humans sleep, which is more of like the 6 to 6.5 hour range, is very much like the normal average range. Good sleepers, insomnia, people with insomnia, it doesn't matter. So you want to make sure that you're keeping things realistic and ultimately drop the whole monitoring altogether and go timeless. I think it might help you. Okay, so that was for Ange. Thank you for that question. Let's see what we got here. We got one more, and that would be from Pat. Okay, Pat says, hi, I hope you and your family are having an enjoyable holiday season. I think it's to Dr. Daniel, so I know he's doing well. And we're doing fine too, thanks. Since I've had insomnia, much better though, good to hear. I cannot detect whether I've fallen asleep. I cannot detect whether I've fallen asleep or not when I get into bed. Is this typical? Usually I feel I can feel sleep coming on, but since this bout with insomnia, I can't. Okay, so it sounds like you're having another kind of struggle with sleep here. I will wake in the night, sometimes not knowing if I fell asleep. I'm curious as to whether other people experience this and what your thoughts are. As always, thank you. You and Michael have been a huge help to me in overcoming this problem. And thankfully, I've made progress, hoping it continues. Yes, I'm sure it will. I think you are asking a question that's actually pretty common. Perception of sleep, as I was kind of just talking about, is really inaccurate. It's just notoriously inaccurate, not maybe off by hours, but, you know, kind of just, it's really hard when you are trying to guess how long it's been since something happens. Like, think about when you're awake during the daytime, it's pretty easy. You can guess, oh yeah, about an hour ago, I was talking to my friend. Okay, that's pretty easy. You're probably fairly close. But if it's like, you wake up in the middle of the night, you don't know what time it is, you're not offered the time, and you have to say, like, how long has it been since you last woke up? You might be off, like, a lot, you know? I mean, it might be actually hours that you could be off. So it's really hard. You know, sleep is not a uniform state at night either. So, your perception of time is going to be different based on that as well. So there's a lot of things that play into this perception of sleep. And that's a really big interest of mine, is actually perception of sleep. And I think with your question, first of all, yeah, I think it's pretty common for people kind of to have a feeling like they don't recall, they don't perceive getting sleepy. They don't remember falling asleep when they wake up sometime during the night. And it's, perception of sleep is usually not the reality. So, you know, someone in insomnia, they're going to tend to perceive less sleep than they're actually getting. That's pretty consistent finding. So for someone who's kind of having some insomnia, it sounds like maybe you were improving and then maybe having a bit of a setback. That's pretty normal, by the way. You know, we've talked about that in this channel. So I think that, what's really happening is probably, safe bet, not what you're thinking is happening as far as how much sleep you're getting. And also people, you know, sometimes I'll hear people talk about how they feel like they're not getting enough REM sleep or enough deep sleep. There's really no way for you to know how much you're getting of these types of sleep. You're not able to really perceive that. So, it's not just sleep time. It's also kind of sleep depth and dream sleep and non-dream sleep. It's really hard to know how much is actually has happened over the course of a night. Again, a good strategy, don't pay attention to it. Your brain will take care of it. You know, your brain is kind of this sleep is this homeostatic thing. It just kind of like your brain keeps everything in order. It does what it needs to do. It's you don't have really willful control over your depth of sleep or how much dream sleep you get and all this kind of stuff. So, the reality of sleep is probably different than what you're perceiving. But I do like to say that, you know, if you wake up at night, there's a good chance that you were sleeping. So if you're wondering whether you've been asleep at some point during the night, you just start to wonder, I wonder if I've slept. Almost certainly you have, because when that thought comes to your mind, it's probably because you were just asleep and not having conscious thoughts. And then you wake up and now you're kind of, oh, I wonder if I was just asleep. And that's a logical question. You know, a lot of people, they wonder that. Well, it's a safe bet that, yeah, you were asleep. How long? No way to really know, but you were asleep. So, you know, I say this as kind of, I misspelled flip, sorry. I say this as something to kind of give you some peace of mind, you know, because people sometimes they think they never sleep, you know, but then when you talk to them, they use phrases like, well, yeah, I wake up really suddenly. Okay, well, if you wake up suddenly, that means you were asleep. So you have to kind of think of it like that, like give yourself a peace of mind that, okay, yeah, I was sleeping. Maybe not the most deep restful sleep I've ever had, but I was sleeping. So this perception of sleep is a really interesting thing. And just, you know, understand that it's probably not super accurate. I think it can improve, and I think it can be helped along a little bit, especially the getting sleepy part of it, you know, the getting sleepy before you go to bed side of things. I think it's, I equate it almost like to someone who overeats and they they don't perceive getting full. They don't perceive getting hungry. They don't perceive getting full. It's all just kind of like spontaneous or maybe very rigid and time-driven. It's not an introspective thing. It's not a self-assessment. How hungry am I? You know, it's more like just a spontaneous thing or something like that. Whereas, and then when they start to learn better eating habits and they start to really think about better overall eating, you know, health and all of that, which is usually more than just counting calories. It's more of like a, you know, a mindset, kind of like with sleep and insomnia. It's kind of like you have to change your thinking. Well, it's eating, it's kind of the same. You have to change your thinking. Usually then they start to perceive being full and being hungry a little easier. And that makes them progress and become someone who doesn't have an eating problem after a while. So same as with sleep, you know, you can kind of learn that and you can kind of experience getting sleepy. And I do think I'm a proponent of kind of the analog types of activities at night versus the backlit screen. This, and it has nothing to do with the light exposure thing that you've probably heard all about. Nothing to do with that. I just think that it's a more salient experience of getting sleepy when you're doing something like a puzzle or journaling or reading or listening to something. And, you know, these kinds of simple activities that are enjoyable, you know, make sure you like what you're doing. You know, don't torture yourself. If you're awake at night, you know, don't fret. Don't wonder, how am I going to get back to sleep? Do something you like. But I do, and this is my personal opinion, I feel like more of the analog-based activities, they tend to help with that experience and that learning of perceiving feeling a bit sleepy, which is more than tired. You know, tired's kind of that physical feeling, tired, fatigued, exhausted, but sleepy is like the mental side of it. It's that mental focus that starts to go away. Well, if you're doing kind of an analog type activity, not a screen-based activity, I think it's a little easier. And that's just my take on it. But whatever works for you is what works for you. So I just think that over time, that perception can improve a little bit with the getting sleepy side of things, which of course then drives what you're doing. You know, you're sleepy, light off in bed. That's as simple as it gets. Okay, let me see if there's any other questions here. I think that's about it. I did want to comment. Let's see, I made a couple of little quick notes here. Just kind of talking about like, and I know Daniel was talking about this earlier, last week, I believe it was, kind of like this, you know, your brain is kind of like the survival machine. And I just want to talk about that in general, that, you know, you know, there's studies and evidence that like when people are asleep in a laboratory and then noises that are unfamiliar are played, the brain reacts to that. Like the idea that your brain is always kind of checking in and wondering about things and whether it's a threat or not is ongoing. It really happens like all the time. And so, you know, when you are struggling with your sleep, then your brain is really the thing that's, it's doing what it is built to do, which is like identify threats. And if being awake at night is identified as a threat, then, you know, or sleep loss is identified as a threat, then your brain's going to kind of kick into high gear and it's going to be monitoring more than it usually does. And that you could also say that's kind of part of the hyperarousal issue with insomnia. So, you know, I just think that there's logic why people would struggle with sleep. You know, there's actually, I think, a lot of areas where it's kind of logical, you know, like why, you know, why would this be happening? Your brain is kind of just doing what it does. And so when you change your thinking kind of through like a lot of these non-attachment ideas that we've been talking about on this channel, then that can kind of help with it. Like doing thought downloads, you know, during the day, kind of writing things down. So you get like the phrase things off your mind, you know, it's kind of where it comes from. And then you can show your mind and your brain, you're like, yeah, I'm addressing these things. I'm worried about this thing or this other thing or whatever. You write it down and you just say, yeah, you know, I'm acknowledging it. And maybe I'll kind of work on it a little bit during the day if it's something tangible and practical. But it's sort of like you have to let your brain know, you know, help the brain understand things that are not really threats. And that's really what it is with insomnia. It's so, you know, so much of it is just perceiving sleep loss as a threat. Maybe you've read articles about these horrible things that happen if you don't sleep enough. No science, you know, behind that. No health conditions are caused by poor sleep. So, you know, you have to just kind of like do the right, you know, really think about sleep in the right context. And that can take some time. It can take some time to change thinking. So thought downloads are really good. Getting rid of the time at night so that you're not, you know, hyper monitoring things, that can help. Not think about sleep during the day. If you track your sleep, you know, I'm not a big fan of that, as I was just talking about, but you know, if you do want to track your sleep, don't check that those data until later in the day. I think that's a really helpful suggestion. So, you know, if someone's got a Fitbit thing or they use an app or maybe their CPAP machine tracks their sleep or something like that, I encourage people not to check it until end of the day so that it doesn't impact and influence how you feel during the day. There's lots of strategies like that. And at the school, this is a lot of what we do is we go through strategies that help with the way that you think about your sleep to make it so that insomnia isn't an issue. And it can take some time to get there, but it's very doable. And so you just have to kind of, you know, stay on the course when you are working on your sleep. And we are definitely here to help you do that. We do have the master program. Join a supportive group at our website, thesleepcoachschool.com. At the top of the page, the webpage, there's a link where you can submit questions for our YouTube videos that we will answer live. And lots of great other material there that it's no cost. You can just go on and start, you know, start really learning about insomnia and what drives it and all this kind of stuff. So if you do then want to become a member, you know, you have a really good idea of what we're doing at the school. And we do have a good dedicated group of students and also people who want to learn to be sleep coaches. So maybe you're a therapist or you know someone who works with people and they struggle with their sleep and that affects how, you know, how effective you can be as like maybe you're, you know, a therapist of some kind, a massage therapist or something, and you're trying to help people, but you find that a lot of people struggle with their sleep and it kind of overwhelms everything else. That's kind of a common story, that sort of thing. Then maybe learning to be a sleep coach. You know, you can do our program, self-paced program, and you can start to help these people. And that really expands what we want to do with this channel, which is help as many people as we can with sleeping problems. So, okay, check it out at thesleepcoachschool.com and really love to see you there. So, great. I think I'll wrap it up here. Hope you're all having a great end of the year. You know, it's 2021 right around the corner here. I'll be back on later this week, and Daniel will too, I'm sure. And I just want to thank everyone, you know, for being part of this channel. It's really great. So many great questions have come through, and we just love to provide whatever insight we can. You know, no medical advice. We're just providing insight. We get questions, and we just respond in a way that hopefully comes across as understandable and helpful for just general ideas about sleep. And definitely want to thank you. And you know, I'm always learning. I've been in the sleep field for over 30 years and I'm always learning new things. And it's really great. You know, it's great working with Daniel and, you know, learning a lot about sleep and social media and things like that. That someone at my age maybe struggles with a little bit. So really appreciate everything that this channel has brought. So you guys take care and I will see you later on. Bye-bye.